Well, if we have not met, I am Carrie Boyum. I'm the Children's Ministry Director here, and it's my privilege, my honor, my joy to serve as the Kids Ministry Director to kids, and I get to work with lots and lots of volunteers. Today, we are inviting you adults kind of into our children's church. It's not very often I'm up here for the entire service, so it's kind of fun to participate and have all of our kids here participating too. We are going to be looking at some of the content that we covered during Vacation Bible Camp. My prayer is that kids, if you were at VBC, you're going to hear some things you've already learned, and this will just help you remember and be reminded of some of the Bible truths that we learned. And parents, if you're hearing this, this is an opportunity for you to go home, ask questions of your kids, have good discussions about what they learned and what you are learning yet today. And for all of you, these are just awesome Bible truths that pertain to everybody. So we spent the week focusing on True North, trusting God in a wild world. And our adventure took us to Alaska, which is one of the wildest places in the United States. We're gonna play a little trivia, so get your thinking caps on here. Think of the answers, or maybe you wanna jot them down and see how close you come to the correct answers. And these are some things that make Alaska pretty wild. First of all, who has been to Alaska? Raise your hand if you've been to Alaska. Oh my goodness, there are a lot of you. All right, well, you have the advantage on this. All right, how many rivers and how many lakes does Alaska have? There are more than 3,000 rivers in Alaska, and there are more than 3 million lakes in Alaska. May put Minnesota of 10,000 lakes to shame, just a little bit. Okay, here's the next one. Of the 20th tallest mountains in North America, how many do you think are in Alaska? 17. Denali is the highest peak in North America. It stands at 20,320 feet above sea level. All right, here's another wild, wild one. How many active volcanoes are there in Alaska? At least one. There are 90 active volcanoes in Alaska, and 50 of those have been active in the past 300 years. All right, here's the last one. Remember we met Bruce the Moose this week? How many moose do you think live in Alaska? Of course, we don't know an exact amount. Between 175,000 and 200,000 moose. So chances are if you get to Alaska, you might see a moose. Okay, so our theme was True North, trusting God in a wild world. And God is our true north. He's like a compass that always works and always leads us in the right direction and on the right path. He never, ever leads us astray. And what do you think makes our world so wild? Some of the world is physically untamed and wild, kind of like a lot of Alaska. Life itself has twists and turns and can be unpredictable, making our world feel wild. People around us can make our world pretty wild. Sin, culture, peer pressure, divisiveness, war, violence, and even relationships all create a wild world. And when you live in a wild world, the best tool you can have is one you can trust, one who will never leave you, and one who will always point you in the right direction. Our first Bible point, and I would like participation on this, when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. You got it. Do you ever wonder about things? Do you wonder what will happen tomorrow or next week? Maybe you wonder about the next activity that you'll get to do, or you wonder how you'll do in school or on a test. When you wonder, do you sometimes worry? Sometimes feel uncertain? Or get anxious? It's not always easy not knowing what's happening next or being able to predict what the future might hold. I have to be honest, I'm a planner. I like to know what's coming. I like to anticipate what is coming next, and next, and next. And I like to make contingent plans if things change. So it's challenging for me when I don't know what is happening. For example, 6 months ago in January, think back to January, I started planning for Vacation Bible Camp. I studied the curriculum. I asked adults to join a leadership team. I started talking with the decorations team about how we could transform the church. And I also started wondering about who God would bring to VBC this year. And as much as I could plan, as much as our leadership team could plan, we didn't know everything. We simply couldn't know what all was going to go on. We didn't know if the weather would be good and we could have our gym, our games outside, or if we'd have to be in the gym. We didn't know if the snacks would be a hit this year. I didn't know if the air conditioning was going to stay strong enough to keep this church cool for the week. It did, praise the Lord. There was a lot of uncertainty, but you know who I trusted? I trusted God with all those details. He is my true north. He is like my compass, guiding me in the best way that He has set out for me. It's times of uncertainty that we have the most opportunity to trust Jesus. Just think about it. If we knew everything that was going to happen and we were planned out for everything, we wouldn't necessarily need to trust God. God knew everything that was going to turn out this week, and I know I can trust Him. So when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. Matthew 7:24 says this, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise." God loves our questions. And He provides a place for us to get answers to our questions. He has given us the Bible. God's inspired and holy word of God is full of answers for us. He's also given us teachers, leaders, pastors here at church who help us grow in our faith. He gives us family members who we can go to and talk to. God likes it when we wonder. He's with us every step of the way. Our second Bible point of the week was when we feel alone, we can trust Jesus. One of the best parts about being a follower of God is that we are never actually alone. God's always with us. So notice that this Bible point says, "I feel alone." And this feeling of aloneness is not referring to the times where you actually want to be alone. Sometimes we need a nap. Sometimes we want to read a book by ourselves. Sometimes we just need some peace and quiet. But do you ever feel really alone? Like maybe you don't have someone to play with or hang out with or eat your lunch with. Maybe your friends are all doing something that you don't want to do, and so you feel isolated and alone. Maybe you feel like people don't just get you, or you feel like there isn't anyone quite like you, making you feel left out. Loneliness can sometimes make us feel sad, defeated, and not worthy of others' attention. But God desires to be with you. And when you feel lonely, you can trust in God. There's an example in the Bible of even Jesus feeling lonely in this world. In Matthew 26, we read that at the time that was approaching, where Jesus was going to be put on trial and later crucified, He wanted to spend time with His disciples and with His heavenly Father. He was craving partnership. I'm going to read Matthew 26, 36 to 40. It says this, "Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will.' Then He returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?' He asked Peter." Jesus did this 3 times. He went away to pray to His Father, and 3 times He came back to His closest, best friends, sleeping, not there for Him. He felt alone on this earth. Yet, who did He turn to in this most challenging time? His Heavenly Father. He trusted God to see Him through. Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So when you're going through a rough time, when you feel lonely, when you feel like you might not have anyone around to support you, when you feel alone, you can trust Jesus. Our third Bible point is when we feel powerless, we can trust Jesus. We're going to try a quick experiment. So stick your hands out, stick one thumb up, and one pinky out. And when I say switch, you're going to make the other thumb up and the other pinky out. Ready? Switch. Ready? Switch. Gosh. Ready? Switch. Yeah, see? This is not easy. All right, well done. You can keep practicing through the rest of this time. Nothing like a little bit of like body, mind, maybe not working together to feel a little powerless. You might feel a little powerless that your body couldn't do a simple task. I've been practicing this literally for days, and I'm like, still can't get it, one at a time. But you know what? There are a lot of things that we are powerless to do. When we feel powerless to change things, and powerless over people, over sickness, we can still know that God is on our side. He is more powerful than the largest Kodiak brown bear. We're going to watch a video for just a few minutes and learn a little bit more about God's mighty power.
Well, hello there. I'm Cody, and I'm a Kodiak bear. Kodiak bears are a type of brown bear, and we often get confused with grizzly bears. So you know we're pretty big. But we don't start out very big. When us bear cubs are born, we weigh less than a pound. That's much smaller than a baby human. We're pretty much helpless. Blind, deaf, unable to smell, and no teeth. Powerless. Aw, look at my cute little cub picture. You wouldn't look at that baby bear and think it's very powerful. But just wait until we grow up. Our weight multiplies by anywhere from 400 to 1,000 times what we were as babies. If that were true for you, you might grow up to weigh 8,000 pounds. We don't get that big, but boy bears like me can weigh as much as 1,500 pounds. That's pretty big. Of course, we lose some weight when we nap all winter. By springtime, we've lost a quarter or more of our weight. Watch me stretch and stand up tall. Yep, I'm over 10 feet tall. Kodiaks are the largest bears in the world and the largest carnivores on land. Although we may be meat eaters, we do eat a lot of grass, berries, and roots. And I love fish. But most of us don't want to spend all the energy chasing animals that run away from us. My height and weight aren't the only powerful thing about me. My sense of smell is powerful, too. You might know that dogs have a strong sense of smell, but mine is 3 to 4 times stronger than that. Did someone have cinnamon toast for breakfast? A bear's hearing isn't too shabby either. Our ears might look small compared to our bodies, but we can hear sounds from very far away. We can even hear the click of a camera over the sound of wind. So if you're around, I'll know. Another thing that makes me powerful is my claws. They can be up to 4 inches long. Hold up your fingers and imagine their claws. They're still not as long as mine. We can use our claws to fight, but mostly we use them to dig for food and hold on to it. And not to brag, but I'm pretty fast too. Bears can run as fast as a car on a city street. Our powerful muscles make running easy. So I'm big, tall, fast, super smelling, super hearing, with long sharp claws. That's powerful. Maybe you're jealous of all the things that make me so strong and powerful. Maybe you sometimes feel powerless. Maybe you feel like you'll never do well in school. Or you wish you could heal someone who's really sick. or you're worried about the future, but you're powerless to change things. You might like to have a big, powerful bear like me on your side when you feel powerless. But did you know you have someone even stronger? Jesus is way more powerful than even the biggest Kodiak bear on earth. And he's always on your side. So remember, when we feel powerless, we can trust Jesus. Well, I'm off to go berry hunting. Catch you later.
So Jesus reminds us in Matthew 14:27 that we don't need to be afraid of not being in control and not having all the power. It says, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here. It's not a bad thing to feel powerless because we can remember that God has all the power. When we feel powerless, we can trust Jesus. Our fourth Bible point, when we need hope, we can trust Jesus. One of our VBC song lyrics goes like this. I can't help but feel a little down, a little worried when I look around. That's why my hope is in, my hope is in the Lord. I fix my eyes upon the God who gives, because all I need is what I have in him. That's why my hope is in, my hope is in the Lord. When we look around, it may be pretty natural to feel hopeless. We see challenges that people in our community and in our world are facing, and sometimes it feels like there is simply no hope. However, God is a God of hope. He sees beyond what we can see. We can see as far as this wall is behind me, but God sees beyond this wall, beyond Richfield, which is behind there, beyond Iowa, which is even further, beyond Mexico, which is even further south. God sees a much, much wider picture. In the Bible, we read about the moments leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and his disciples, his closest friends here on earth, thought that he was going to save the world and become an earthly king. They didn't want him to die. If you think about the disciples' hope, consider a little trickle of water, maybe the amount of water you use to brush your teeth. As they watched Jesus in the days leading up to his death, they were probably thinking that Jesus would be set free. He'd fight back if he was sentenced to death. While he was hanging on the cross, they thought he'd perform a miracle and come down. But when Jesus died, their hope died. They hoped for what they knew and what they wanted to have happen. Their little trickle of water was small. Now imagine a big waterfall, and Alaska has many, many large waterfalls. Those waterfalls pour out huge volumes of water day after day after day, and it never runs out. That is what hope in Jesus can be like. As the disciples waited, they were sad that their friend died. They thought that all hope was lost, but Jesus did not stay dead. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus met his disciples after he was resurrected. Jesus provided hope for the disciples when they were full of hopelessness. When we put our hope in Jesus, it never runs out. And you too can have hope as big as that waterfall gushing down. Matthew 12:21 says, and his name will be the hope of all the world. When we need hope, we can trust Jesus. All right, we've made it to Bible point number 5. When we need help, we can trust Jesus. All right, I have some questions I want you to think about. Who helps you with these things? Who helps you when you're sick or you have a medical emergency? Doctor, nurse, a parent? Who helped you learn to read? Maybe a teacher, maybe a parent, maybe an older sibling. Who helped you learn to tie your shoes? Maybe a YouTube video, maybe a parent. Who helps you play games and have fun and play together? Your friends, yes, neighbors. And who helps you learn about the Bible? Parents, me, thank you. I love it. There we go. Teachers at church, family members, our pastors. Lots of people contribute to your learning, and it's really cool to have access to people who care enough about you to offer help and support. In the Bible, in the early part of the book of Acts, we learn that Jesus is preparing to go back to heaven. His time on earth is over, but he tells his friends, the disciples, that he's going to leave for them a helper. And that helper is? The Holy Spirit. If you've been in children's church this month, or really this year, and Sunday Bible time, we've learned a lot about the Holy Spirit. That's right. The Holy Spirit came upon the believers, those who put their trust in God. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time, in every location, whenever we need help. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28:20, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So remember, when you need help, we can trust Jesus. All right, so we've been through our five Bible points. But maybe you're thinking, what does trusting in Jesus practically look like? You might be asking, how do I actually put my trust in Jesus? Well, here's how trust can be defined. Believing in the reliability, truth, or ability, or strength of someone or something. Trusting someone begins with getting to know that person. So I would encourage you, get to know Jesus. Read about him in the Bible. Pray to him. Get together with friends who trust in Jesus and grow together. Ask questions of your church leaders and talk to your family about Jesus. Trusting may come really natural for some of you, while for others it might be quite a risk to put your trust in Jesus. But you know what? He understands. He's patient. He loves you right where you are. And he sees the desire of your heart. By getting to know Jesus, learning more about him, living in relationship with him, your trust in Jesus will grow. My prayer is that you will discover that Jesus is dependable. He is there for you when you wonder. When you're alone, Jesus does not leave you by yourself. When you feel powerless, Jesus provides strength and courage for you. When you need hope, Jesus provides peace and fills your cup with everlasting hope. And when you need help, Jesus provides a helper. The Holy Spirit is with you always to be your guide. So as we live in this wild world and in all the circumstances that you can encounter, you can, one more time, trust Jesus. Let me pray. God, thank you for this time together learning that we can depend on you and that we can trust in you. God, may we remember that you are with us always. When we are struggling, when we're having challenges, when we feel alone, might we be reminded often that you are with us and that you are a trustworthy God who wants to be with us all the time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.